Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
You know, I had the opportunity to get invited to a really cool event recently. Anybody heard of Robert F. Smith? He is a black billionaire that paid off all the student loan for Morehouse students. Y'all know him now, huh? Yeah. I didn't know him either. I knew somebody did that. I didn't know who did that. But I got to, so he was having a kind of like a two-day extravaganza, right? And he wanted to get together with people that have been invested in HBCUs for us here in Atlanta, of course, Morehouse. And I don't know how exactly my name got thrown into the mix, but I got this invitation for all my years of service, almost 20 years that I've served at HBCU, specifically at Morehouse, Spelman, and Clark, my wife and I. And I said, man, it's like there was a gala that was going to happen, and there was going to be able to spend some time with him the next day in a smaller setting, because he wanted to encourage those people that have served, because he understood that paying off the loans just wasn't enough, right? So it was, it's a village that, you know, that will help the students. And so, and then the next day, just spent some time talking. He wanted to, for the people that were there, he was going to hear some ideas and be able to support some of those things, some initiatives that we've had, right? And so I don't know how I got that invitation. So I said, yeah, I'm in, right? I'm in. And then I realized it was this weekend. On the thing, they're like, listen, you're going to go to a location. Then they're going to shuttle you to an undisclosed location. You know, it's a type where you really have to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, because what I found out was other celebrities were going to be there as well. Other people that wanted to be part of this movement, A-list, athletes, actors, actresses, politicians, dignitaries. But I had been away this week. We had a men's retreat. And then my wife and I took a retreat, a pastor's retreat, out at Windshape. Y'all remember Windshape, Chick-fil-A retreat center, just to pour into pastors. So we came back Friday. I still could have gone, but, you know, Jamal and Ike got married last night. I had to preach today. You know, I got to preach, right? So I said no. But it was good to feel. I don't know, would y'all have gone? It felt good to feel wanted. You know, it's something about an invitation. It feels good to be wanted, to go do something you want to do, go somewhere you want to go. When it's the right invitation, we feel honored, right? I felt honored, felt thought about, felt wanted. I started this book called Invitation to Retreat, and the author, Ruth Haley Barton, says this: one of the reasons I love a good invitation is that I get tired of being told what to do. As the very responsible oldest daughter of a pastor and someone who entered vocational ministry at a young age, my life has been shaped by a strong sense of what I had to do, what I needed to do, and what I ought to do, according to a lot of other people's expectations. And there's nothing wrong with that, she goes on to say, as far as it goes. But these days, I find a good invitation to be much more compelling than responsibility. To be invited into something that is right for me and to have the chance to choose freely, well, that is an entirely different experience. With a true invitation, there is no coercion, no forcing, no guilting, no manipulation, just a winsome opportunity, an open-hearted welcome, and the freedom to say yes or no. An invitation means that I really do have a choice, and I just love that, she says. Can anybody else relate? My next question for us is this. Becoming a Christian feels like, and I want you to tell me which one it feels like to you. And that is the next slide. Which one it feels like to you? Next slide. Does it feel like an obligation? Does it feel like an expectation? Or does it feel like an invitation? How does becoming a Christian or living as a disciple of Jesus, living as a Christian, what does it feel like to you? An obligation, an expectation, or an invitation? And what I love about this is you can really be honest because nobody really knows what you are saying. Looks like many people feel like an invitation. Many people feel like an expectation as well. And some feel like an obligation. You know, as we start this new series in the Gospel of Luke, we're going to find that Jesus is a true gentleman. He invites us out of the mundane and into the miraculous. What does that mean? That means that he gives us a chance to choose freely. No coercion, no forcing, no guilting, no manipulation. Just a winsome opportunity. An open-hearted welcome and the freedom to say yes or no. It's up to us. In Luke chapter 14, we see an amazing interaction that Jesus has as he is invited to a dinner. He's invited to a dinner with a leader of the Pharisees. What does that mean? There's a lot of religious leaders that were going to be there. And in their culture, it was a Sabbath meal. And so this was the one time in the week that they would plan these meals to take, to do Sabbath together. And they would eat and enjoy fellowship. And, you know, what would happen was, you know, those in the higher class would then invite people like them, right? And so they would have their friends and family there, and it would be a great occasion, a grand a feast to be with your friends and family. And this is where the important people went on the Sabbath. And as prestigious as it can get, and Jesus was invited to this event. And it says that he got there. And it says they were watching him closely. You know what that means? They were trying to set him up. Why? Because it was a Sabbath and they brought somebody who was ill. Somebody who was ill, what had swollen limbs, legs, and arms. I believe the term is dropsy that this individual had. And so he sees the individual and he asks the people, he says, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Yes or no? And they remain silent. So he goes on, he heals him, and then he sends him away. He said, okay, you go on away because this is about to get ugly. You know how when somebody's about to face off in a movie, you got a hostage, it's like, send the hostage, it's going to be me and you. It's Jesus didn't come to eat, he came to preach. He knew what he was walking into, right? He's ready for a fight. And so he starts calling people out. Because he notices that the people coming in are fighting for the seats of honor. You see, they want to get as close to the host as possible. And so he tells them, you know what? Y'all should really sit at the foot of the table. Because then if the host, you know, if you sit in these special seats and somebody comes in that's more important, you're going to be asked to sit, you know, you're going to be asked to move. That's embarrassing. Jesus, I don't want you to be embarrassed. I'm trying to look out for you. And so he says, you know, just sit over there. And then if the host wants you to come, then he'll grab you and he'll bring you to the head of the table. Because everyone who wants to be exalted will be humbled. But those who will be humble, who choose to be humble, will be exalted. You see, that's the way things work in God's kingdom. And so after that, he went through just yet. He had a few words for the leader of the Pharisees, the host of the event. All right? Luke 14, verse 12. Let's put up the scripture for us. You can follow along. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." What? You mean Jesus is going in on these guys, right? But they really didn't get it. In the midst of Jesus preaching to them, like very directly, this guy decides he's going to be the passive-aggressive one. And he's going to change the mood because it was too tense in there. You know how some of us, we don't like there to be any awkwardness in the room, right? That was this guy. He's like, you know what? Banquet, resurrection of the right. Hey, guys, it's going to be amazing when we're all at this banquet together, right? Hear, hear. Cheers. And they all cheer. It's like a toast. His passive-aggressive way to deny all the things that Jesus was saying to them and say, Jesus, you really don't know what you're talking about. We're all going to be there. We're all going to be good. We're going to get our reward. I don't know who you may be talking about, but we're going to get our reward now and in the kingdom of God. You see, a lavish banquet was the highest experience socially, the most fulfilling and joyful celebration that they had. So that's why it became a metaphor for them as they thought about the heavenly celebration. So that's why he connected the dots. He's like, oh, it's going to be great to be in the banquet of the kingdom of God because of scriptures like Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25 verse 6 says this, "In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken." And in that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation that he brings." This is what they were looking forward to, y'all. And this is what we should be looking forward to. A wonderful feast, a delicious banquet, a seven-course meal. It says well-aged wine. Got any winos in the house? Anybody enjoy a good glass of wine with Jesus? You know, fruit of the vine? Yeah. You know, I want to partake here and there. Especially well-aged. You know? It says choice meat. Fogo de Chao. But a heavenly one. A heavenly Fogo de Chao. See, Fogo de Chao is just a glimpse of what's going to happen in eternity. You know what I mean? That's all that is. Just a taste. See, that's just a taste. It's just an appetizer of what's going to happen in eternity. Choice meat. I should have put a question in there. What y'all want? Chicken, steak? What y'all prefer? Steak, crab, lobster? What y'all, all of it, all the choice meat. Says he's going to give us these things. He's going to make this amazing spread for us. You see, some of us think that heaven is just going to be like sitting in the clouds. What am I going to do in heaven for the rest of my life? Party? Eat? Enjoy life the way God meant for us to enjoy life? Think about the Garden of Eden restored as a heavenly city. And some of us, we're not excited about heaven because we don't know much about it. I like this description. He's going to give us some things and he's going to take away some things. He's going to take away the cloud of gloom. You ever feel depressed? You ever feel like this cloud is just going with you? Nobody else can see it, but it's just there. The cloud of gloom, the shadow of death, going to wipe away all tears, remove all disgrace. And in that moment, it'll all be worth it. That's what they said. They said, we trusted in him, and he saved us. We denied ourselves, and he came through. We believe when my spouse didn't believe, when my kids didn't believe, when my coworkers thought I was crazy, I believed, and he came through. We trusted in him with our finances and our marriages and relationships and our time. And we trusted him. We did things the way he wanted us to. It was hard and we fell short, but we trusted in him, and look where we're at now, y'all. You see that? I get to have more of that? Yes. Hey, let me get a taste of that. Hey, bring on the wine. I guess I can't get drunk up here. I just get to that place. Just to that place. You know what I mean? That place Christians get before they can say they're drunk. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm relaxed. And we're going to be at that place. Not quite sinning, but just feeling right. That place the Lord wants us to feel. Oh, I'm getting in trouble today. So when Jesus speaks of the resurrection of the righteous, it happens to be at this Sabbath meal. They're sitting at the table eating, and somebody thinks about the fact that, man, isn't it going to be wonderful when we all get to be there at the great banquet of God? And Jesus is like, what? You mean you didn't understand what I was telling you? You see, this pride that I see in you, y'all came in here and set me up here smiling at my face, giving me an invitation like you wanted me to be here, and really you were trying to set me up, and you don't think I know that? That's the worst, when you look at somebody and you know they're talking about you behind your back, and they come and smile at you in your face, and you know, somebody laughed back there, you know that they don't know you know, but you know. So because they didn't get it, or they didn't want to get it, and that's what pride does to us, pride blinds us from seeing the things that Jesus is trying to teach us, that pride is blinding. We don't see things we need to grow in ourselves, maybe other people, but not us. And so Jesus says, I'm going to try another way. Let me tell you a story. Verse 16, Jesus replied with this story. You know, sometimes we need another, we learn in different ways. I'm going to tell a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. A great feast. Tremendous. Incredible, right? Many invitations. This isn't a kickback, right? This isn't the type where, you know, we got some folks going to get married here next week where you're trying to, you know, you're trying to make sure you can't go past 100, 150. You know, there's no budget here, right? It's a great feast, many invitations, right? This is the type of man that he's got it. This is him, right? He got it like that. And he's been preparing for this, a grand gala. Whose event would you like to visit? What invitation would you like to get? Let me hear from you. I think about your favorite celebrity. I want this to be real for you, right? That maybe it's their birthday party or their wedding. You know, you look at it in People magazine or what's it called? Media Takeout? Do they still have that? I don't know all the gossip sites these days, but you know how y'all be on that thing. Whatever it is y'all be looking at. What is it? Come on, tell me. What do y'all be looking at the gossip at? Oh, we don't look. We Christian. We don't look at that garbage gossip magazines. It's just called Instagram now. I don't got to buy it at the store. But I know what they're doing. What's going on? Oprah, Michelle Obama, the Met, the NBA Finals. Ooh, yes, the Emmys. Tyler Perry. Man, I heard he was going to be at Robert's event, man. Golly, y'all, man. The Super Bowl. Mary J. Blige, Lauryn Hill. Yes, okay. We've been thinking about this. I like that. Will Smith. Okay, somebody's still a fan out there. So imagine getting invited to this. This is the event that's going on, right? And they were used to getting invited to things like this, but this is where the story takes a turn. This is where Jesus says something that nobody expected for him to say. Nobody. Verse 18. But they all began making excuses. One said, see, I just bought a field and I gotta go inspect it. Please excuse me. And another's like, that was today. I just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out, so humbly excuse me. Another said, I just got married. I can't come. I'm sorry, I just can't make it. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported, there's still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. Nobody would have said no. This was a prestigious event. And let me tell you, the Pharisees loved these type of events. This was their opportunity to show who they were, right? And they were able to show how close they were to sit in those seats of honor. And so this story makes no sense to them. Why would anybody say no? Just like the story that I made up earlier about going to Robert event. That wasn't real. But y'all was in shock. Y'all was like, you ain't go to that. I know you just was at the retreat. I get it, Pastor. I know you got to preach. But you got preachers in the room. How you ain't go to that? Some of y'all were nice about it, but that's what you were feeling. But I shared that because I didn't want you to get lost in the religiosity of this story. I didn't want you to feel like, oh, yeah. No, that's what it was like. Why would anybody make an excuse to not go to the Super Bowl, to the Met Gala, to hang out with these celebrities, to go do the thing you've always wanted to do, the thing you've dreamed about, maybe even your big break? It doesn't make sense. And not only that, this is extremely rude. This is unrefined behavior. They considered this outrageous and unacceptable. Culturally, this was a slap in the face. Now, some in ancient Near Eastern traditions even would equate this with a declaration of war. Because when you were invited to a meal with someone, that was an extension of friendship. And when you refused that friendship, that meant you didn't want to have nothing to do with that person or their family or their town. A declaration of war. Nobody would do this. Why would they do this? But they all did. they all had an excuse. You see, back then, kind of like now, they sent out a save the date. Say, hey, this is happening. Now, I can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but once it's ready, you see, that's why he said once it was ready, he said, go tell everybody to come on in. Them folks were supposed to be waiting in anticipation for this event. I know it's coming. I don't know when, but I'm going to be ready. My bag's packed. I'm going to have my right fit. I already went shopping. I got the drip. I'm going. I'm set. And so it was, they said yes first, and then they said no. So he prepared for all these people that said yes first. But isn't that kind of like us? If I were to ask you, how many of y'all want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? Hey, you want to go to heaven? Yeah. But when you get invited to follow Jesus, when we get invited to come to church, to go to a small group, to get into the scriptures, when we feel God tugging at us to put all those things on our hearts and minds aside just to spend some time with him. Geez, I didn't know that was today. You mean you want to have a quiet time every day? Spend time with you? Go to church every Sunday? I went last week. It was good. This week, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch TV this week. I'm going to get right. I'm going to come back next week. List of excuses. What do I see from that list? Say, well, I just bought a piece of land, possessions. I want this, and this, and I want to do what I want to do with my possessions. And I see I just bought some oxen. What does that mean? That person decided they want to go to work instead of going to this event. They wanted to go to work to plow the fields with their new oxen. And we do the same thing. I got work. I can't make it to this retreat. Take a half day off to be there early for to help serve. I gotta work. I'm trying to climb that corporate ladder. You don't understand. I got meetings. And by the way, do they have Wi-Fi? Because I may have some Zooms while I'm there at the retreat. Work. Or relationships. That's the marriage thing. She ain't really want to go. We married now, so she ain't. You know, she wanted to go to brunch with her friends, so I just invited my friends, and that's what we're doing. Relationships. Excuses. We all have them. We all struggle with them. Isn't it funny how quickly they can come to mind? It's like the first thing that comes to mind is an excuse and not how we can make it happen, right? Like, I can give you three or four things as to why I don't really need to go on a prayer walk or do whatever God wants me to do. Paris asked us, what's your mission? What has God put on your heart to do? Did you even consider that this week? I was busy. I get it. How does Jesus respond? Well, how does the head of the household respond? Well, he becomes angry. It says furious. But not the type of furious that we would be. Because if anybody's ever been stood up, I don't know about you, I'd be like, man, I ain't doing this anyway. I ain't want to do this. I invited folks I ain't want to invite. She wanted to invite them. I don't know the folks, that family, the third cousins. No, I ain't want them to hear anyway. They were talking about me behind my back. That's how I would have been like, cancel, done. I'm quick to cancel something these days. You don't want to come? Cancel. Done. I'll sit at home. It's football season. No. See, that's not the head of the household. The master's not like that. His anger turns into kindness for others. And that's when the story gets even crazier, because from that one thing, he says, you know what? This is crazy. This is even more crazy. Y'all want crazy? This is crazy. Now I'm going to invite the lame and the crippled and the blind. I'm going to invite the people that don't feel entitled to be here in the first place. Don't feel like I owe them something. You know, they may feel honored. They may make this a priority. And then he tells them something even crazier than that.
Not just in the city, go outside the city, go into the country. Go find the country folks.
And these are the people that were outcasts. They couldn't even be in the city. So they were outcasted from the community. That's where you found the lepers, right? That's where you found the folks that were sinful and they're told, hey, you got to go. Ostracized, outcasted. But then it goes from inviting to urging. Do you catch that? Urge them. Urge those folks. Compel them. Get them to come. Well, why? I thought this was supposed to be an invite. It's supposed to be whether I want to or not. You're supposed to be compelling me. You're supposed to be, I don't want no guilt trips. You see, for them, it wasn't that type of compelling. You know what they had to be compelled? Why they had to be compelled? Because they felt so unworthy to be there. Do you remember what Jesus told the religious people? Do you remember that he said, invite these types of people? Why? Because they can't repay you? When those people get invited, you know, the first thing they thought was, I can't repay this master. I don't have a favor to give back to him. I don't have a connection to give back. I don't have a network like that. I know what he's going to do. He's going to invite me, then he's going to ask for something. You know those folks? They give you something, that they hang it over your head. You owe me. That's how they lived. And so they said, I don't got that. Plus, I don't even got the clothes to go there. I don't got the means to get there. I'm lame. How do you expect me to get there? You know what? No, it's good. It's okay. I'm good here. I can't make it to that. That's why they needed to be compelled. They needed to be compelled by the grace and mercy and lavish blessings that God wanted to bestow upon them. They needed to be reminded of how much God wanted them to be there. And that no matter what was holding them back, it didn't matter. That master wanted them there by all means necessary. And he does the same thing for us. Even to the point of allowing his son to die on the cross for us. By all means necessary, we got to get him there. And then he turns it from a third person story to the first person. Did you catch that? He's like, oh, this master this and this servant this. And then he goes at the end, I tell you, none of those who were invited shall have a taste of my dinner. Ooh! Jesus says, I'm the master. This was my event. And you all had excuses. You ain't coming. You think I'll be at the righteous resurrection of righteousness? You ain't coming. They are. The ones that are humble enough to see their need, grateful enough to want to be a part of this party, of these blessings. You know, this yesterday we had a great celebration, a great banquet. Jamal and I got that, you know, I got to steal that selfie in there, you know, before it gets crazy. And it was special. It was special. The next picture is their first dance. And, you know, it was special for many reasons. I've known Jamal since he was 17 years old. I met him as Jazz called him yesterday at the wedding, an angry young fella. Point guard of the basketball team at North Clayton High School. And it's amazing to see his growth. And to get to this point, how much he's battled, how much he's clung to Jesus, has fought through to do things the right way and build this relationship with IKEA. IKEA, just a blessing. IKEA was baptized not too long ago here. It's just amazing. He led her to Jesus and then married her. That's pretty amazing. I got an invitation from Jamal. Maybe you were thinking, what does he have in his pocket? This is one of the coolest invitations I ever got from somebody. One, I got an invite to be a groomsman. So I was off duty. Pastor Jazz was holding it down. And I got to go enjoy as a groomsman. And he wrote, Angel Maldonado, groomsman, October 1st, 2022. And I've held on to this. I brought it with me when we did our groom honoring, our celebration for the groom. And I brought it with me yesterday. I just thought this was so thoughtful. Yeah. What a thoughtful, he knows I like to golf. What a thoughtful invitation. And it got me thinking about how thoughtful Jesus is when he invites us. You ever notice that? If you haven't, just think about it. Think about how Jesus has been inviting you into his kingdom, into a relationship with him, the people that he uses, the things that he allows to happen, the blessings that he bestows upon us, even especially when we don't deserve it. You ever been like that? Like, I've been in the guilt of guilt, and I get a blessing, and I'm like, I don't deserve it now, God. And yet he's inviting me back to him. So for some of us, he's inviting us to him for the first time. For some of us today, he's inviting us back to him. We have another wedding that's coming up. Roxanne and Leslie will be getting married. And I'm excited about that. And it's a special time because yesterday it was the anniversary of our dear brother Kavi, who passed away on October 1st back in 2017. And Kavi was instrumental in helping Jamal become a disciple and Roxanne. And in God's incredible sovereignty, here we are last night celebrating. Celebrating. A day that 5 years ago I was destroyed. I mean destroyed. And then we're celebrating. I was celebrating several things. One, I was celebrating that this wedding, that it's his legacy. As you can see, his focus is how many people will get to live forever. That's what he said. That's how he lived. It's amazing how many people. And to see all his boys there last night, so many guys that he helped. It's such a short period of time to be on this earth, one, and to be a Christian. So many people that were there last night. He had helped in some way, shape, or form. But I was also celebrating that he's at the great banquet. He's celebrating. And although we had a great party last night, and let me tell you, I saw y'all. I saw it. I tried to get as much of it on video, but then I thought, I know somebody got me on video. Whatever you see about me, you know, they have deep fakes now. It ain't really me. They're just trying to. As much as we partied last night, how much more amazing is it going to be in heaven? You see, when we get invited to attend a great banquet into the kingdom of God, it's far more than being invited to go to church, to be religious. It's an invitation to the miraculous. It's an invitation to the great banquet at the resurrection of the righteous. It's an invitation to go from the mundane into walking with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Today, I want to invite you into the miraculous. We want to invite you to either come to Jesus for the first time or come on back, because that invitation is still wide open for you to come on home. As we get ready for communion, I just wanted to remind us that he wants us so much that he allowed Jesus to die for us. If we ever doubt how much God wants us to be with him, we just look at the cross. Let's bow our heads. Let's just take a moment right now just to still our hearts for a second. Just still our hearts, our minds, our souls. Take a breath. Be in this moment right now. Father, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life, the example that he set, the way he taught us, continues to teach us, his stories, the way he tells us the truth. Thank you. Thank you for his death. Thank you for that eternal image of your love for us. And thank you for his resurrection. The fact that we too, as we follow him and decide to become his disciples, that we get to also resurrect. Not in our righteousness, but in his. And so we celebrate Jesus right now. We celebrate his sacrifice. And we thank you so much for his invitation. To leave the mundane, to leave the mediocre, to leave the busyness of life, the pleasures of this world, and to say yes to something far greater. Eternal pleasures that are at your right hand. We love you, God. Speak to us in this moment as we take communion. And empower us to not just say yes to your invitation, but to be the servants that invite others along as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.